Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this is the third installment of this chapter, The Spiritual Masters. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami now says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, taught Brahma and made himself realized. Purport. The English maxim that God helps those who help themselves is also applicable in the transcendental realm. There are many instances in the revealed scriptures of the personality of Godheads acting as the spiritual master from within. The personality of Godhead was the spiritual master who instructed Brahma, the original living being, in the cosmic creation. When Brahma was first created, he could not apply his creative energy to arrange the cosmic situation. At first, there was only sound vibrating the word tapa, which indicates the acceptance of hardships for spiritual realization. Refraining from sensual enjoyment, one should voluntarily accept all sorts of difficulties for spiritual realization. This is called tapasya. An enjoyer of the senses can never realize God, godliness, or the science of theistic knowledge. Thus, when Brahma, initiated by Sri Krishna by the sound vibration, tapa, engaged himself in acts of austerity, by the pleasure of Vishnu, he was able to visualize the transcendental world, Sri Vaikuntha, through transcendental realization. You have a question? Now, the first word was tapa. That's when he began. Now, you're talking about later, when the sound of Krishna's flute entered Brahma's ear. That was his Brahman initiation, and he came with the Gayatri. That's later. But first thing he heard was tapa, and then he started his austerities. Okay? Anything else? Okay, maybe I should give you the bell because I can't see you. So if you have a question, ring the bell. Okay? Modern science can communicate using material discoveries such as radio, television, and computers. But the science invoked by the austerities of Sri Brahma, the original father of mankind, was still more subtle. In time, material scientists may also know how we can communicate with the Vaikuntha world. Lord Brahma inquired about the potency of the Supreme Lord, and the personality of Godhead answered his inquiry in the following six consecutive statements. These instructions, which are reproduced from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, verses 31 through 36, were imparted by the personality of Godhead, acting as the Supreme Spiritual Master. Please repeat, Gyanang Parama Guhyang Me. Yad vijnana samanvitam sa rahasyam tad angam cha grihana garitam maya. Please hear attentively what I shall speak to you, for transcendental knowledge about me is not only scientific but also full of mysteries. Purport. Transcendental knowledge of Sri Krishna is deeper than the impersonal knowledge of Brahman, for it includes knowledge of not only his form and personality, but also everything else related to him. There is nothing in existence not related to Sri Krishna. In a sense, there is nothing but Sri Krishna, and yet nothing is Sri Krishna save and except his primeval personality. This knowledge constitutes a complete transcendental science, and Vishnu wanted to give Brahmaji full knowledge about that science. The mystery of this knowledge culminates in personal attachment to the Lord, with a resulting effect of detachment from anything non-Krishna. There are 9 alternative transcendental means of attaining this stage: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, assisting, fraternizing with the Lord, and sacrificing everything for him. These are different parts of the same devotional service, which is full of transcendental mystery. The Lord said to Brahma that since he was pleased with him, by his grace the mystery was being revealed. Yavad aham yatha bhavo yad rupa guna karmaka tataiva tatva vijnanam astute mad anugrahat. By my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestations, qualities, and pastimes. Purport: the transcendental personal forms of the Lord are a mystery, and the symptoms of these forms, which are absolutely different from anything made of mundane elements, are also mysterious. The transcendental personal forms of the Lord are a mystery. So that means, other than through devotional service and Krishna's causeless mercy, you can try, but you're not going to understand. So that means there's only one way. Yes. Yes, because it's spiritual, it's transcendental. See, mundane elements, everything in them. In other words, we can't speculate unless you have the mercy of Krishna and devotional service. You'll not be able to understand. Like, most people cannot accommodate that God has a spiritual form. Most of them think that, yes, there's God, but he doesn't have a form. It's for them to conceive of a spiritual form. Yeah, it's not clicking. And that's only if you do devotional service and you are blessed by Krishna. No, which are absolutely different from anything made of mundane elements. Yeah, but we don't consider that material. If you're talking about the Arch of Vigraha, if we think that that's material, Pashandi, atheist, what we understand, this is why we don't do idol worship. We don't do idol worship because we're not worshiping a statue. We're worshiping God. It may look like material elements, right? But we are informed, no, this is no longer mundane. Just like the Shila, right? That deity is not installed. That Shalagram Shila, like other deities you call, and Krishna agrees, but the Shalagram Shila is directly. There's no installation calling the deity. No, if you get a Shila, and that's why you commit any offense, you get 100% the reaction. Because it is directly Satchit Ananda. Okay? That's clear? Then Krishna manifests to the degree of their love and service. And they're not held and not accountable for not doing standard service. For instance, in the temple, because those deities are installed, you have to do 6 artis a day. You have to do twice dressing. You have to feed so many. Otherwise, offenses accrue. Then it's you're not held so responsible. And that's why from the beginning, what did I preach at Namahat? Gornitai, Gornitai, Gornitai. Don't run the risk. Now, my core group, they became advanced and they all got Radha Krishna deities. But they learned, they understood. But, you know, people who are coming, I still say, Gornitai, Gornitai, but you don't have to worry about offenses. Yeah, I just got to chant Hare Krishna. Shall we continue? The innumerable forms of the Lord, such as Syamasundara, Narayan, Rama, and Gaurasundara, the colors of these forms, white, red, yellow, cloud-like Shyam, and others, his qualities as the responsive personality of Godhead to pure devotees, and as impersonal Brahman to dry speculators, his uncommon activities like lifting Govardhan Hill, marrying more than 16,000 queens at Dwaraka, and entering the Rasa dance with the damsels of Braja, expanding himself in as many forms as there were damsels in the dance. These and innumerable other uncommon attributes and acts are all mysterious, one aspect of which is presented in the scientific knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, which is read and adored all over the world by all classes of philosophers, classes of scholars, with as many interpretations as there are empiric philosophers. The truth of these mysteries was revealed to Brahma by the descending process without the help of the ascending one. The Lord's mercy descends to a devotee like Brahma, and through Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyasadeva to Shukadeva, and so on, in the bona fide chain of disciplic succession. We cannot discover the mystery of the Lord by our mundane endeavors. Yes, that's the ascending process. You're trying to figure it out on your own. They are only revealed by his grace to the proper devotees. These mysteries are gradually disclosed to the various grades of devotees in proportion to the gradual development of their service attitude. And like I said at Mehta's program, how I was so pleased with you because you demonstrated such an exemplary service attitude. And my daughter also, wonderful. I didn't say that to her. That was all her. So I was so pleased with that service attitude. In other words, impersonalists who depend upon the strength of their poor fund of knowledge and morbid speculative habits, without submission and service, in the forms of hearing, chanting, and the others mentioned above, cannot penetrate to the mysterious region of transcendence, where the Supreme Truth is a transcendental person, free from all tinges of the material elements. Discovering the mystery of the Lord eliminates the impersonal feature realized by common spiritualists who are merely trying to enter the spiritual region from the mundane platform. That same concept is there in Brahma Sanhita about how they can only maybe approach the tip of the toes, and they do drilling the respiration. You know that, there's that verse. So this is where Prabhupada is getting that from? Let's go. Let's do it together. Aham evasame vagre nanyad yat sad asat param pasyad aham yat etatcha yo vishishyeta sosnyaham. This whole section is Chatushloki. Here it's six verses because there's two preliminary verses, then the four. So that's what this is. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj explanation of Chatushloki. Okay? Prior to the cosmic creation, only I exist and no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything, and after annihilation, only I remain eternally. So here, of course, cosmic creation. He's not talking about the spiritual world. That's ever-present. He's talking about the material creation, which is there for some time, then wound up, then appears again, wound up, cycle after cycle. So the purport, aham means I. Therefore, the speaker who is saying aham, or I, must have his own personality. The Mayavadi philosophers interpret this word, aham, as referring to the impersonal Brahman. That's crazy. The Mayavadis are very proud of their grammatical knowledge, but any person who has actual knowledge of grammar can understand that aham means I, and that I refers to a personality. Therefore, the personality of Godhead, speaking to Brahma, uses aham while describing his own transcendental form. Aham has a specific meaning. It is not a vague term that can be whimsically interpreted. Aham was spoken by Krishna, refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing else. Yes, I love that you're doing this, please. I love it. Mayavadis, because they twist. There is a standard Sanskrit dictionary, and the one that there's the Nirukti, that's considered the standard Sanskrit dictionary. I think there's, when we're talking about from ancient times, so there is a Sanskrit dictionary. Yeah, that's exactly what Shankaracharya did. He had to do that. Buddhism, because when Buddha came, the authority of the Vedas was destroyed, because Buddha said, don't follow the Vedas. And because of Emperor Ashoka, Buddhism became like the national religion. Okay? So now, the authority of the Vedas is gone. Everybody's now is just following Buddha. So the first step is Krishna has to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. So that was Shankaracharya's mission. But to do that, he had to present a cheating philosophy. So he made this attractive philosophy called Mayavad, so that would be easy to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. Buddhism was driven out of India, and where did it go? East, all over there. So Shankaracharya's credit was that he reestablished the authority of the Vedas, but to do it, he had to do some trickeration. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and defeated and established the, once again, pure, correct, transcendental spiritual philosophy, transcendental knowledge. Okay? We're good? All right. Yes. The word, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes. No. Aham means somebody, a person is speaking, whether in the human form or any form. It's a person speaking. Yeah. In other words, that's what Prabhupada is saying. Not necessarily. Yes. Exactly. I, you, and we, yeah, and that's Prabhupada's point. It can't refer to something, not a person. That's yes, it's referring to, that's not just Krishna. We are also I. It's referring to a person or you. Yeah, yeah, apart from God. Exactly. Like this, recorder can't say I because it's not a person. And the whole premise of Mayavad philosophy is there is no personality, that it's just oneness and it's impersonal Brahman. The soul is personal Brahman. But they are saying impersonal Brahman. So by their very, so it's like you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. As soon as you recognize aham, then it can't be impersonal Brahman. Can't be. It has to be personal. He's doing a job. He's on a covert mission. He's Lord Shiva. No, he is Shiva. He is Shiva. And he did that on the order of Krishna. So, yeah, he was on a mission. And Shiva is greatest devotee of Narayan. So if he's given a mission, that's... That's at the end. At the end, he said, stop everything, just worship Govinda. And his disciples thought he's testing us. They misunderstood. All right? Right. Before the creation and after its dissolution, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates exist. There is no existence of the material elements. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Vasudeva va idam agra asina brahma nacha shankara. The meaning of this mantra is that before creation, there was no existence of Brahma or Shiva, for only Vishnu existed. Vishnu exists in his abode, the Vaikunthas. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. And on each of them, Vishnu resides with his associates and his paraphernalia. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that, yes? But that's in between, that abode is in between the spiritual world and, yes, except for Shiva's abode. Not that Shiva abode. Not that Shiva abode that you read about in Brahma Sanhita. Okay, we're talking about The Shiva, yeah, the one that's in the material realm. Okay? All right. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that although the creation is periodically dissolved, there is another abode which is never dissolved. The word creation refers to the material creation because in the spiritual world, everything exists eternally and there is no creation or dissolution. The Lord indicates herein that before the material creation, he existed in fullness with all transcendental opulences, including all strength, all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, and all renunciation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one thinks of a king, one automatically thinks of his secretaries, ministers, military commanders, palaces, and so on. Since a king has such opulences, one can simply try to imagine the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord says, Aham, therefore, it is to be understood that he exists with full potency, including all opulences. The word Yat refers to Brahman, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam. The Brahman effulgence expands unlimitedly, just as the sun is a localized planet with the sunshine expanding unlimitedly from that source. So the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his effulgence of energy, Brahman, expanding unlimitedly. From that Brahman energy, the creation appears just as a cloud appears in sunshine. From the cloud comes rain, from the rain comes vegetation, and from the vegetation come fruits and flowers, which are the basis of subsistence for many other forms of life. Similarly, the effulgent bodily luster of the Supreme Lord is the cause of the creation of infinite universes. The Brahman effulgence is impersonal, but the cause of that energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From him in his abode, the Vaikunthas, this Brahma Jyoti, emanates. He is never impersonal. And you've heard me say so many times, don't be spiritually dyslexic and think that Krishna comes from Brahma Jyoti, which many people think. And that's why that final verse of Bhagavad Gita chapter 14 is so important. Brahma nohi pratishta aham. Again, that Krishna is saying, I am the basis, the source, the resting place of Brahman. Not that Brahman is the resting place of Krishna. Then the verse would be different. But unfortunately, many people think like that. And that's why all you can do is just quote that verse a billion times. Aham Savasya. Exactly. Both material and spiritual. Yes, another big important verse. Since impersonalists cannot understand the source of the Brahman energy, they mistakenly choose to think this impersonal Brahman the ultimate or absolute goal. I'll give you another example. The gross materialists, since they don't accept Brahman, what to speak of Krishna, the gross scientists now say everything came from this material energy, the Big Bang, right? Because that's all the same thing, but he says impersonalists cannot understand the source, so they conclude everything comes from Brahman. And the gross materialists who don't accept anything spiritual, all they can say is, well, in the beginning there was this chunk, and then there was this explosion. because that's as far as they can go. They, all they can know is, well, we see that there's this material energy. That's it. They don't. They can't go further. Yes, that is correct. Okay, but as stated in the Upanishad, one has to penetrate the impersonal effulgence to see the face of the Supreme Lord. If one desires to reach the source of the sunshine, one has to travel through the sunshine to reach the sun and then meet the predominating deity there. The absolute truth is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, as Srimad Bhagavatam explains. Sat means effect, and asat means cause. And param refers to the ultimate truth, which is transcendental to cause and effect. Similarly, in your favorite chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am beyond both the fallible and the infallible. Therefore, he's known as Purushottam, a name you know very well. The cause of the creation is called the Mahat Tattva, or total material energy, and its effect is the creation itself. But neither cause nor effect existed in the beginning. They emanated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as did the energy of time. This is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmad Yasya Yata. The source of birth of the cosmic manifestation, or Mahat Tattva, is the Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Dwarkadish, Thya Prabhava, I am the fountainhead of all emanations. The material cosmos, being temporary, is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. But its energy emanates from the Supreme Absolute Lord. Before the creation, there was neither cause nor effect, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed with his full opulence and energy. The words Paschad Aham indicate that the Lord exists after the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. When the material world is dissolved, the Lord still exists personally in the Vaikunthas. During the creation, the Lord also exists as he is in the Vaikunthas, and he also exists as the Supersoul within the material universes. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Goloka Eva Nivasati. And although he is perfectly and eternally present in Goloka Vrindavan in Vaikuntha, he is nevertheless the all-pervading Akhilatma Bhuta. The all-pervading feature of the Lord is called the Supersoul. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Aham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhava. The cosmic manifestation is a display of the energy of the Supreme Lord. The material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, display the inferior energy of the Lord, and the living entities are his superior energy. Since the energy of the Lord is not different from him, in fact, everything that exists is Krishna in his impersonal feature. Sunshine, sunlight, and heat are not different from the sun, and yet simultaneously they are distinct energies of the sun. Similarly, the cosmic manifestation and the living entities are energies of the Lord, and they are considered to be simultaneously one with and different from him. The Lord therefore says, I am everything, because everything is his energy and therefore not different from him. Yo Vishishyeta Sosmi Aham indicates that the Lord is the balance that exists after the dissolution of the creation. The spiritual manifestation never vanishes. It belongs to the internal energy of the Supreme Lord and exists eternally. When the external manifestation is withdrawn, the spiritual activities in Goloka and the rest of the Vaikunthas continue, unrestricted by material time, which has no existence in the spiritual world. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yad gatva na nivartante tadamam paramang mama. The abode from which no one returns to this material world is the supreme abode of the Lord. Let's chant together. Ratartang yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayang yata baso yata tama. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflections. And just the other day on Facebook, somebody posted a picture of a candle, and the flame had no shadow. The base of the candle had a shadow, but the flame, no shadow. And that's exactly here. For in the light, there are neither shadows nor reflections. I never saw that. That was like so nice. Very nice. In the previous verse, the absolute truth and its nature have been explained. One must also understand the relative truth to factually know the absolute. The relative truth, which is called Maya, or material nature, is explained here. Maya has no independent existence. One who is less intelligent is captivated by the wonderful activities of Maya, but he does not understand that behind these activities is the direction of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is working and producing moving and non-moving beings only by the supervision of Krishna. The real nature of Maya, the illusory existence of the material manifestation, is clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. 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 I just read. Maya is called Bhadra. Subhadra is internal, spiritual. Maya is material energy. And you know from Brahma Sanhita, which you chant every day, she is the shadow. She is Radharani's shadow. No, Maya. Subhadra is Yoga Maya. Subhadra. So does Krishna. Subhadra, Yoga Maya also. The Rasa dance, that's all Yoga Maya. That's the internal. The Rasa dance is not external energy. Spiritual. Right, and she, Yoga Maya appears all over the place. For instance, the gopis externally were worshiping Katyayani, externally, but actually they were worshiping Yoga Maya. But externally, it looked like they were worshiping Durga, but actually, they were worshiping Yoga Maya. was different level. But externally, for instance, another way to understand it. The Mayavadis, when they see devotees doing deity worship, the Mayavadis say, Karmakand. Because to them, their angle of vision, you're doing actions, that's Karmakand. Because for the Mayavadis, the only spiritual activity, meditation, and thinking about Vedanta Sutra. That's it. Other than that, even eating is Maya for them, because they're Mayavadis. Everything is Maya. Everything is Maya except meditation and, of course, because Krishna is Maya, because it has form. And even this, again, even this conception of I, that's also Maya. There's no conception of I. It's just one. There's no I, you. Mayavadis, yes. Everybody is one. Okay? Yeah, they cannot accept individuality. As soon as they accept individuality, the whole thing's finished. All right, let's continue. But there were Vaishnavas still. There were still Vaishnavas. Yes. 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 Okay. The real nature of Maya, the illusory existence of the material manifestation, is clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is substance, and the relative truth depends on its relationship with the absolute for its existence. Maya means energy. Therefore, the relative truth is explained to be the energy of the absolute truth. Since it is difficult to understand the distinction between the absolute and relative truths, an analogy can be given for clarification. The absolute truth can be compared to the sun, which is appreciated in terms of two relative truths, reflection and darkness. Darkness is the absence of sunshine, and a reflection is a projection of sunlight into the darkness. Neither darkness nor reflection has an independent existence. Darkness comes when the sunshine is blocked. For example, if one stands facing the sun, his back will be in darkness. Since darkness stands in the absence of the sun, it is therefore relative to the sun. The spiritual world is compared to the real sunshine, and the material world is compared to the dark regions where the sun is not visible. Rupal, what verse in chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita are you thinking of right now? Good. Any other verse? That's what the very first verse, how everything is a perverted reflection. So that chapter 15 is so, because you have learned it, you can just preach from chapter 15. Just preach from, because you know it so well. Preach from that, you'll be all perfect. Because that's the idea. Prabhupada said, if you read a book, read it thoroughly. So chapter 15, you thoroughly understand it. Preach. Okay? When the material manifestation appears very wonderful, this is due to a perverted reflection of the Supreme Sunshine, the absolute truth as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra. Whatever one can see here has its substance in the absolute. As darkness is situated away from the sun, so the material world is also far away from the spiritual world. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions, tama, but to try to reach the shining regions of the absolute truth, yogi dham. The spiritual world is brightly illuminated But the material world is wrapped in darkness. In the material world, sunshine, moonshine, or different kinds of artificial light are required to dispel darkness, especially at night, for by nature the material world is dark. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has arranged for sunshine and moonshine. But in his abode, as described in Bhagavad Gita, there is no necessity for lighting by sunshine, moonshine, or electricity, because everything is self-effulgence. That which is relative, temporary, and far away from the absolute truth is called maya, or ignorance. This illusion is exhibited in two ways, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The inferior illusion is inert matter, and the superior illusion is the living entity. The living entities are called illusory in this context only because they are implicated in the illusory structures and activities of the material world. Just like we say, nitya buddha, eternally conditioned. But once you surrender to Krishna, then you become nitya mukta. You regain your original eternal status of liberation, because that's where you started from. Now we're nitya buddha. But by this process, we'll regain our nitya mukta idea. Okay? Actually, the living entities are not illusory, for they are parts of the superior energy of the Supreme Lord and do not have to be covered by maya if they do not want to be so. Free will. The actions of the living entities in the spiritual kingdom are not illusory. They are the actual eternal activities of liberated souls. Yata mahanti bhutani bhute socha vacheshvanu pravashant yano pravishantani tata teshu nateshvaham. As the material elements enter the bodies of all living beings and yet remain outside them all, I exist within all material creations and yet am not within them. Rupal, what philosophy was just spoken by Narayan? Hey, that's her question. You knew that. Something is simultaneously one and different. So Krishna says, I enter, and at the same time, I haven't, because here I am. Okay? Purport. The gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, combined with the subtle material elements, remember, subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, to construct the bodies of this material world, and yet they are beyond these bodies as well. Any material construction is nothing but an amalgamation or combination of material elements in varied proportions. These elements exist both within and beyond the body. For example, although the sky exists in space, it also enters within the body. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, who is the cause of the material energy, lives within the material world as well as beyond it. Without his presence within the material world, the cosmic body could not develop. Just as without the presence of the spirit within the physical body, the body could not develop. The entire material manifestation develops and exists because the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters it as Paramatma, or Supersoul. The Personality of Godhead, in his all-pervading feature of Paramatma, enters every entity, from the biggest to the most minute. His existence can be realized by one who has the single qualification of submissiveness and who thereby becomes a surrendered soul. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization. What verse in Bhagavad Gita? What verse? Come on. That would be one answer, but more directly, proportionate. What verse in Bhagavad Gita would handle this proportionate? Think of chapter 4, the famous verse in chapter 4. Ye yatam mang prapajante tangs tataiva. As they surrender unto me, that's what proportionate means, right? So that would be a more complete. As they surrender, I reciprocate. Okay. Damodar's going to read. Okay. Very good. The development of submissiveness is the cause of proportionate spiritual realization by which one can ultimately meet the Supreme Lord in person, as a man meets another man face to face. Because of one's development of transcendental attachment for the Supreme Lord, a surrendered soul feels the presence of one's beloved everywhere, and all one's senses are engaged in the loving service of the Lord. One's eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful couple of Sri Radha and Krishna sitting on a decorated throne beneath the desire tree in the transcendental land of Vrindavan. One's nose is engaged in smelling the spiritual aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, one's ears are engaged in hearing messages from Vaikuntha, and one's hands embrace the lotus feet of the Lord and his associates. Thus the Lord is manifested to a pure devotee from within and without. What devotee did Prabhupada just describe from the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's a famous verse in the ninth canto. Prabhupada paraphrased a famous verse about a great devotee who did all nine items of devotional Ambarish. Because you'll see it's almost the same description. How Ambarish did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. Continuing, this is one of the mysteries of the devotional relationship in which a devotee and the Lord are bound by a tie of spontaneous love. To achieve this love should be the goal of life for every living being. Let's chant together. Etavad eva jigyasang tatva jigyasanatmana anvaya vyatarikabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. Purport. Those who are serious about the knowledge of the transcendental world, which is far beyond the material cosmic creation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. One must learn both the means to approach the desired destinations and the hindrances to such progress. The spiritual master knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte disciple, and therefore a serious student must learn the science in all its aspects from him. There are different grades and standards of prosperity. The standard of comfort and happiness conceived by a common man engaged in material labor is the lowest grade of happiness, for it is in relationship with the body. The highest standard of such bodily comfort is achieved by a fruitive worker or who by pious activities reaches the plane of heaven or the kingdom of the creative gods with their delegated powers. But the conception of comfortable life in heaven is insignificant in comparison to the happiness enjoyed in the impersonal Brahman. And this Brahmananda, the spiritual bliss derived from impersonal Brahman, is like the water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to the ocean of love of Godhead. When one develops pure love for the Lord, he derives an ocean of transcendental happiness from the association of the personality of Godhead. To qualify oneself to reach this stage of life is the highest perfection. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened. Even if one continuously performs pious activities for thousands of lives, all mundane relationships are sure to be broken in the course of time. But once one establishes a relationship with the personality of Godhead in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world. One should understand, through the transparent medium of the spiritual master, that the Supreme Lord exists everywhere in his transcendental spiritual nature, and that the living entity's relationships with the Lord are directly and indirectly existing everywhere, even in this material world. In the spiritual world, there are five kinds of relationships with the Supreme Lord: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The perverted reflections of these rasas are found in the material world. Land, home, furniture, and other inert material objects are related in Shanta, or the neutral and silent sense, whereas servants work in the Dasya relationship. The reciprocation between friends is called Sakya. The affection of a parent for a child is known as Vatsalya, and the affairs of conjugal love constitute Madhurya. These five relationships in the material world are distorted reflections of the original pure sentiments, which should be understood and perfected in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the material world, the perverted rasas bring frustration. If these rasas are reestablished with Lord Krishna, the result is eternal, blissful life. From this and the preceding three verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, which are summarized in the four verses beginning with Aham Evasam Evagre, number 53, and concluding with Yat Syat Sarvatra Sarvada, number 56. In the first of these verses, the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy, Maya. The living entities, although parts and parcels of Lord Krishna, are prone to be controlled by the external energy. Therefore, although they are spiritual, in the material world they are encased in bodies of material energy. The eternal relationship of the living entities with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. The next verse instructs that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable energies, is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. This knowledge is called Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. When an individual living entity surrenders to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he can then develop natural, transcendental love for him. This surrendering process should be the primary concern of a human being. In the next verse, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds, and his own existential position. Hear the words Anvaya Vyatirikabhyam directly and indirectly suggest that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.